celebrate today. I want to say good to be here. And Rob, come up here for a second, would you? I want Rob to come up here with me just for a second. God answered a prayer of mine a few years ago, back in 2003, and I believe it somewhere there in November, towards the end of November. I was on the way up here, moving up here, and I'd prayed God do three things for me. God send somebody to Traverse City, and God send me a church that would be interested in planting another church, and God send me somebody to mentor. And Rob came up after the second service there, and he came up and he said, "Hey, would you be my mentor?" And so God answered that question. And you know what? I don't know if I've been all that great of a mentor to Rob through times, because there have been times we haven't spent a lot of time together. But I'm just glad to have Rob here in our service with us today. And I just want to ask you, forgive me for those times that I wasn't a great mentor, but thank you for being here.
Thanks.
All right. God bless you. And Rob is a member of Lake City Baptist Church, and his wife back there. A lot of changes in the last few years, huh, brother? Yes, and each one of our lives. So it's time to celebrate it, and I wasn't going to have Andrea run a mic around today, but maybe something you'd like to share with us. We had you had the blessing of the bikes yesterday, and the blessing of the motorcycles, and so share with us how that went. I just want you to know that I prayed for you and prayed with you. Somebody like to share? Over here. Yeah, you did. Amen.
And there's been a lot of people that have found. Matter of fact, there's been a guy in our group that, I'm not going to mention names, but his son has been lost for a while, and they get him in contact with him here.
Amen.
Praise God for that.
Yeah.
We prayed for this, and yesterday we had a great time. We served something like between 70 to 100 meals yesterday. People stopped in, and we blessed their bikes. Some people come in, and we blessed their cars.
Amen.
We just added out some time.
Just added two more wheels.
I
said just added two more wheels to bless.
But we had a great time, and everybody just stopped around and just had communication, and we just prayed God all the time, and we had a great time doing it.
Amen. Somebody else share with us something you'd like to celebrate or something that's been going on.
I guess I just want to say I had a friend who came over yesterday afternoon, and she said she had been to your blessing of the bikes with one of the bicycles. She lives right in that neighborhood right around by the church. And I don't know, it was just very cool to me to hear coming back from one of my friends how she had been blessed by you guys and by people I know here in this church. And just it's like, see, I could really see how we're reaching out. And two, it was one of those, you know, my husband's sitting there listening, and he's just going, you know, it's like, are you people everywhere? It's like, yes, we are, honey.
Amen, yes. We want to be everywhere.
You can't get it. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know. He's afraid and he's running, but, you know, we keep popping up everywhere, and he's becoming less afraid as he becomes more exposed, and that's all good. So just thanks you guys for doing that.
Amen. Celebration. Joan has it. Amen. Amen. Jesus and the motorcycle, that's the right order, too. Somebody else like to share celebration? Amber.
Okay.
Okay, for some of you, you've already heard this story because I emailed it to some people on the worship team. Those of you don't know, my husband and I were moving to Florida. His job starts next week. Mine starts in about 3 months. But he drove down Friday. He left Friday morning. He drove straight through 24 hours. But Friday during the day, my mother-in-law was surfing YouTube, just looking at different devotionals and whatnot. And she came across a video of, anyone follow American Idol? No? Okay. Well, the winner of American Idol, Chris Allen, was singing God of the City. And we didn't, when you follow Chris Allen during the American Idol, it wasn't really evident that he was a Christian. But when she saw this video, and she's like, oh, well, I'm going to listen to that because, one, it's Chris Allen, and we're huge American Idol buddies. And, two, because the title of the song, she had never heard the song before, which I thought was crazy, but she listened to it. As Eric is driving to her city, we're moving to South Florida. That's where we're moving. And the part that says, you know, greater things have yet to come and greater things are still to be done. Eric and I have no idea what God is calling us to do when we're in Florida. But we know that we're going to do something. We are going to impact lives. And she said that was her prayer. And she heard the song as he was coming down. So that was just really cool.
Amen. Amen. Paul. Somebody else.
I've been praying for the last few months that God would open the doors to my baseball team and let me to be a witness. And before my first game, I had 3 different people come up and ask me if we were going to pray before the game. And that was just really great. And you aren't supposed to be wearing jewelry or rings or anything in baseball, and I had forgotten about it. One of my team members asked me, hey, what's the ring for? And so I got to tell him about my ring and my commitment to sexual purity and everything. So that was just really neat. He's opening the doors.
Amen. It was really awesome to watch the whole baseball team gathered around KJ over there and him leading them in prayer on Friday night. Pretty awesome. One more. Anybody else like to share? One more. Cameron.
Last Saturday, I had an opportunity to go visit with my mother over at Bambi Lake, and was the 50th anniversary of Bambi Lake Conference Center over in Roscommon, which is about an hour away from here, over by Holton Lake Grayling area. Some of you know that I grew up in that area, or I grew up there Bambi Lake. My mom and dad, my dad was a camp manager there since 1957 for about 35 years. There's probably 150 people that came to the celebration there Saturday. And just to hear their testimonies of how they have been impacted just in their experiences that they've had at Bambi Lake, the conference center there. And people talked about stories where they were over in Europe in a church and giving testimonies. And they stood up and they were telling people where they had met Jesus Christ. And one lady said, well, I met Jesus Christ in a little conference center, Bambi Lake, Michigan.
Amen.
And it just so happened to be that another lady in that church at the same time heard that message, and she had met Jesus Christ at Bambi Lake, too.
Wow.
And, you know, Bambi Lake has impacted people, you know, worldwide. It's only an hour away from us, and, you know, we ought to take advantage of going over there and Amen. Participating in some of the conferences and things that they have over there, because it's just, you know, it's holy ground, and it's a great place to be able to get together with other Christians, but to bring, you know, some of your friends and non-believers there to experience what God has, too, so... I just was blessed to be able to be there and be part of that.
Amen. Also at Bambi Lake, they have a campground. So if you just want to go over and camp, you can do that. And so they have a pretty nice campground. Of course, they have a lake, and you can go fishing and probably take Cameron with you. He could just show you where the fish were at. But it is a great opportunity, and they have a camp coming up, family camp, before long. And so if anybody's interested in family camp, please get a hold of me. And I would love to take a group over there. It'll be the week after the group from Tennessee's here. It'll be right before the 4th of July. So let me know if anybody wants to go to that. And so I've had the privilege of preaching over there for the last 6 years. at family camp, and it's been a great opportunity and great privilege of mine. Today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 6, and we're going to begin chapter 6 here today in Jesus affirming his deity, and really dealing with the Sabbath today, and how does this deal, how does Jesus talking about the Sabbath, and the scribes and the Pharisees talking about the Sabbath, how does that affirm his deity? And I hope to be able to answer that question for you today, how that affirms his deity. But I also want to challenge you today to look at the Sabbath, to look at one of the Ten Commandments that God has given to us. As God's given that Ten Commandments to us, it must be pretty important if he listed that in the Ten Commandments that he's given. So let's look at the Sabbath today and try to answer how this affirms Jesus' deity and how that it can apply to us. Let's read God's Word. In Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, it says, "On a Sabbath, he passed through the grain fields. His disciples were picking heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands and eating them. And some of the Pharisees said, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?' And Jesus answered them, 'Haven't you read that what David and those who were with him did when he was hungry? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the sacred bread, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat. But he even gave some to those who were with him. Then he told them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. A man was there whose right hand was paralyzed. The scribes and the Pharisees were watching him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath, so they could find a charge against him. But he knew their thoughts and told the man with the paralyzed hand, "Get up and stand here." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" After looking around at them all, and could you imagine Jesus looking at you? I mean, he looked at all of them. After he looked at all of them, here's what he said. After looking around them, he told them, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was restored. They, however, were filled with rage and started discussing with one another what they might do to Jesus. Father, I ask you that you might speak through your word today, and God, that you may speak loud and clear, and God, that you may challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I'm preaching through the Gospel of Luke, I probably, if I was preaching on topicals, I probably would never pick the topic of preaching on the Sabbath. I'm preaching about the Sabbath anyway. And so I probably wouldn't be a topic that I preach. But I just want you to know that God really spoke to my heart as I was studying for this passage of Scripture. And I think God showed me some insight that I hope I can impart and give to you today that can help you in your walk with Christ. First of all, what is a Sabbath? What is a Sabbath? You know, God said in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. A Sabbath literally means to rest from labor. To rest from labor is what Sabbath literally means. And it was first mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. And Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, after God had created everything that was created in the first 6 days, it says, on the seventh day, God rested. Was God tired? I just want to ask that question. You know, I asked that question. I asked that to my mom when I was a little kid. Was God tired? Did he need just to take a rest? God wasn't tired. Creating everything was not a big deal for him. Well, it was a big deal, but it was not hard work. Now, for us, it would have been totally something else. And we don't have the capacity to do what he did. Matter of fact, God spoke and this world came into existence. I mean, he just spoke a word and the world came into existence. And it was already in his thought process. He had already knew exactly what he was going to do. And so the work of the first 6 days was not a huge big deal for him. It was not, he wasn't just wore out from all that. He did it for man. You see, the Bible says that the Sabbath was made for man. He knew that man needs a day of rest. A man needs a day to cease from labor. It's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Seriously, it's kind of hard to do, isn't it? To cease from laboring. Because in our mentality, in our thinking, we've got to go, 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 go. And the more that we go, the more that we get accomplished. And so, what is the Sabbath? It is literally a day of rest. And so you can mark that a day of rest from labor, or a time of resting from labor. And as I was looking and studying this week, I found out that a bodybuilder, needs to have rest. He needs to have at least one day during the week when he's not pumping the iron. I learned something else, that your muscles don't necessarily grow when you're pumping the iron. And when you're working out, your muscles grow after you get done doing that and you rest. And it gets you ready for the next time. And they say if you're not moving forward in your weight program, wrong way. Anyway, but if you're not moving forward in your working out program, that probably it could be that you're not getting rest in between time. I think I've got too much rest in between my weight workout. But anyway, I think it doesn't mean 6 months, okay? But seriously, when a person's working out on a daily basis, they need to take time to rest their muscles to allow them to expand, to allow them to grow. And then you can push, and then you can do the things that will help you to get bigger, even muscle-wise. Why is the Sabbath important? Why is it, you know, the disciples were walking through on the Sabbath day. So why is the Sabbath important? Well, I think a Sabbath is important because it gives us time to stop and to reflect. It gives us time to not be busy, busy, busy. It gives us time to reflect and to be able to worship. And I think that's huge. I think it's huge. As I was thinking this week, as I came to Traverse City and was here pretty early in the morning a couple days, and as I was driving down South Airport Road, it was amazing how busy the streets were early in the morning. It was amazing, you know, at 6:30, 7 o'clock, how busy the streets were. And I was down there a while ago before I came to church this morning, and there wasn't that many people on South Airport. Kind of amazing how empty the streets are at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Maybe that means we need to think about when we worship and stuff too, and how we're going to be most effective in reaching other people. But Sunday mornings has become kind of a day of rest. How many of us grew up? Just thought I'd ask. Lucy, you've grown up. You're the only one here that's ever grown up. How many of us remember the days when you went to town on Sunday and there wasn't anything open? I remember the first convenience store that was open on Sunday in McLeansboro was Huck's. And it was a good deal, that, you know, at least we thought it wasn't. But I remember my mom talking about how bad that was, that they had a Huck's store open on Sunday, and how they shouldn't do that. It was a day of rest. And I really believe that we need that day of rest, not necessarily meaning that everybody has to stay home and not do anything on Sunday. And if you really want to get technical, the Sabbath day is still Saturday. The Sabbath is still Saturday. And we're going to talk about how God changed that and why we worship on Sunday. And not necessarily did he change it, but how that we worship on the Lord's day and not on the Sabbath day. In just a little bit. But let's look at what they had added to God's Word. By the way, God doesn't want you to add anything to His Word. Did you know that? Not one thing does God want you to add to His Word. His Word is sufficient on its own. I mean, it is sufficient on its own. We don't need to add rules to God's Word. We don't, and we add our traditions to God's Word sometimes that doesn't necessarily match His Word. They had made all kinds of rules about the Sabbath. The scribes and Pharisees had over 65 segments of things that you couldn't do on the Sabbath day. I was down in Atlanta last year, and as I was down in Atlanta, I was in a Jewish area. And it was amazing on Saturday seeing the Jews walking to church. And they could, you know, legally they had set it up by the scribes and Pharisees that you could not walk farther than 1,000 feet. Excuse me, 1,000 yards on the Sabbath day. But they had ways around their laws. They made their laws, but then they make ways around their laws. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that sound like human? They would make a law, and then they make a way to get around their law. They said if you walk 1,000 yards and then put 2 sandwiches there, that means a dwelling place, then you could walk another 1,000 yards on the Sabbath day. The laws that they had added to it, I had fun reading some of these. They had a debate whether you could eat an egg. That was hatched, not hatched, but eating an egg that was laid on the Sabbath day. If that egg was laid on the Sabbath day, that hen had worked, and so they debated whether you should eat that egg or not. Well, give it to me. But I mean, seriously, they debated about that. And guys, have you ever heard this statement? How do I look? From your wife. How many have ever heard that statement? How do I look? Don't answer. Yeah, you can answer, but it's always ought to be, well, you look fine, honey. Come on, guys, loosen up a little bit. You look good, honey. Don't ever say that there's something wrong. Anyway, I think I figured out where it came from. I think I found out where that statement came from, because the Jews said that a woman could not look in the mirror on Saturday, on their Sabbath. The scribes and Pharisees had set a law that a woman could not look in the mirror on the Sabbath day. How many of you ladies looked in the mirror today? They said if a lady would look in the mirror and find a gray hair and she would pluck it out, that means that she would be working on the Sabbath. That's how far they had taken their laws. That's how far out that they had become in keeping the Sabbath day. I believe in keeping the Sabbath day, and I believe to keep it holy. A few years ago, there was a basketball team in Southern Illinois, Benton Rangers, a high school team, that had a really good team. They had went through the regular season and only lost one game, and they were playing in the semifinals. And it was on Saturday, and there was a Seventh-day Adventist. A Seventh-day Adventist believes that you worship on Saturday, and they still keep to the fact that it is from 6 o'clock on Friday night till 6 o'clock on Saturday night. That's their 24-hour period that the Seventh-day Adventists hold. And they hold very strictly to that. And there was a boy, one of the star forwards on the team, was a Seventh-day Adventist. And so they played an afternoon game on Friday and got the game over with by 6 o'clock. And so he was able to play. And the team really did a great job. They won by quite a few points. I don't remember exactly now the point range, but it was over 20 points that they won by. And then he played a morning game on Saturday. And because he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and because they believed that that was a day of worship and that you shouldn't work, his parents and he decided, and it was a big talk throughout the whole tournament whether he would get to play on the Saturday game, and he didn't get to play on the Saturday morning game, and they lost. They lost the game. And then he came back, and you know, we talked about that. I appreciate the fact of them standing on their principles and stuff, but do we become so legalistic that we can't have any fun? Do we become so legalistic in keeping God's law? And by the way, it's not fun to break God's law. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm talking about legalism that binds you. I'm talking about things that it was. God wants us to keep the Sabbath day. God wants us to have a day of rest. God wants us to keep it holy. God wants us to do that. By the way, they won their third place game because it was after 6 o'clock and he got to play that night. And so that was a big talk of the area there. But you know, and I do appreciate the convictions that he had. But we can become so legal, and the Pharisees and the scribes had become so legalistic that the disciples were walking through a field. And a lot of times over other places around the world, it's not a big deal for them to cut a path through a field. I've seen it in Romania. I've seen it in Italy. I've seen it in Austria, where they'll cut a path right through a field. And I'm thinking, you wouldn't do that in America. And there's biblical laws that God provided some of the edges of the fields to be able to be harvested by foreigners. You go in somebody's field today, you might get shot. I mean, our world's changed. You, in America today, you walk through somebody's field and start shucking corn, and you're going to get in trouble. If you go through and gather wheat up, you know, but in the biblical law says that you had so many feet, or so much of a field was open that anybody could go through. Now, that means you couldn't go in and harvest it with a sickle, but you could do what the disciples did. It was biblical. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, you'll find that it was okay for them to be able to take the heads of the wheat and rub them together and get the heads out and eat them. It was biblically acceptable for them to do what they were doing. And they were mad because Jesus' disciples were working on Sunday. They had got it to the point that for them to be considered work was to pick up a fig. And if you moved that fig from here to there, you were working on Sunday. I thought I'd be a real spiritual young man one day, and it was time to go milk on Sunday, which was our day off. And by the way, on the farm I grew up on, we only did what we had to do on Sunday. We did our chores. We did the milking, and that was it. I said, I can't go milk today because I'll be working. Dad said, get over it. Go milk anyway. And but that's all we did. We just did what we absolutely had to do on Sunday. So let's go on here. Why did Jesus say he was Lord of the Sabbath? I mean, the Pharisees had made the Sabbath mind-boggling. They had all the rules. And it had become petty of what you could and couldn't do. And Jesus said, I am Lord of the Sabbath day. I am Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was established by God at creation, right? In Genesis chapter 2, it was established by God at creation. And so what he was doing, he was affirming his deity when he said, I am Lord over the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was made for man, and he was the Son of Man, and he was the Son of God, and Jesus affirmed his deity. He was God in the flesh. He's saying, I am God's law. You and I are not God's law. He said, I am God's law. I am. I supersede. I am over that. I am God. And you guys, I supersede all your superstitions. I supersede all of your legalism. I came to set men free, not to bring them in bondage. He didn't supersede his word because it's his word. But he superseded. He overcame all of the laws that the Pharisees had added to God's word. He said, I'm greater than that. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. What he was saying here was, and when they said to him, well, why are you going to do good on the Sabbath day? Why are you going to heal this man? They were watching for the man who had a withered hand. They was watching for him. They was watching to see what Jesus was going to do. And by the way, Jesus knows your thoughts. Isn't that scary? Jesus knows your thoughts all the time. And he knows what you're thinking here today. Even though he's not bodily present here today, he is spiritually present. And he knows exactly what's on your mind. He knows exactly what's on my mind today. And that's even scarier. I want you to know God knows exactly what's going through our thought process. Even as I'm speaking right now, he knows that. He already knows that. So he knew what they were thinking. He said, is it wrong to do good on the Sabbath? Is it wrong to heal? Because in their laws, listen to this. This is how far they had come on the Sabbath. They said that it was unlawful for you to administer medication on the Sabbath day. If somebody was hurt on the Sabbath day, this gives a new picture to me of the Good Samaritan. Because the priest came by and the Levite came by. Why didn't they help him? This gives me a whole new insight of why they didn't help him, because the Jews had got to the point that they couldn't even show any compassion. They couldn't help anybody who was medically ill on the Sabbath day. They had got to the point that their laws had come to the point they couldn't even, according to their law, according to not God's law, but the Jewish law, you could not even show compassion to a sick person on the Sabbath. Wouldn't that be a blessing? They were the instruments of God's word. They were the ones to do good, and they couldn't even care for somebody who was hurting on the Sabbath day. That's not God. That would be a good place to say amen. That's not God. God come to seek and to save that which was lost. God come to heal the brokenhearted. And God came to heal. And yes, he did good and he healed on the Sabbath as well. I want you to know that when I was in a hospital a couple years ago, and I got to be in there a couple different Sundays, I thanked every medical staff person who came in on Sunday. I said, thank you for working on Sunday. Thank you for being here. I am certainly glad that the medical staff was at the hospital on Sundays. How many has ever been in the hospital on Sunday? Aren't you glad that they were there? I said, thank you for being here. I know that you gave up your weekend. I know you're getting paid for it, but I know that you've given up, and I appreciate you being here. And I just want you to know I'm going to pray for you today. No, I believe we should show compassion. I believe we should show care. Of any day of the week, we ought to be able to do it. And so let's go on just a little bit farther here. How should we respond to the Sabbath? Number one, we should submit to Christ's lordship on the Sabbath, as well as every other day. You know, when I was writing that, I thought, it sounds kind of funny. You know, you submit to his lordship on Sunday, and as well as every other day, we should be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That means he is a boss of your life. Lordship literally means that Jesus Christ is the one in control of your life. Let me ask you, is he the one in control of your life? Do you ask him on Sunday, God? And by the way, we're going to talk about the transformation here and why we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday. We will get to that in a minute, but just want you to know that we should submit to his lordship of every day of our life because he is Lord. That means that he has the right to say what we do and when we do it, where we go and what we say, how we act and how we conduct ourselves. He is Lord. He's Lord. The Sabbath, as well as every other day, we should not make it legalistic. We shouldn't make the Sabbath day or our worship on Sunday legalistic. My grandpa went to Wesley Chapel, United Methodist Church. My grandpa's story, I mean, and grandpa was faithful. He was there every time that the doors opened, sometimes when they weren't. I mean, he was there just living. And a lot of times in his earlier life, they walked or took a horse to church. But my grandpa was there. And my grandpa, though, was, and if you look at some of the old-time Methodism, they were pretty legalistic in some of their beliefs. And some of them were pretty right on theologically, but maybe not so much in some of the legalism. My grandpa wouldn't go on a picnic on Sunday. He said, because that's work. And we shouldn't work on Sunday, and it's not resting. And I don't know about you, but for me, a picnic's pretty relaxing for the most part. Is a picnic relaxing for you? I guess it depends on if you're cooking it or not, huh? But, you know, my grandpa went on his first picnic when my dad was in the hospital when my mom was pregnant with my sister back in 1961. That was the first time my grandpa had ever went to a picnic on Sunday. And my mom said that when my grandpa went to the picnic on Sunday, he felt guilty the whole time he was there. He felt like, you know, and he did later on do a little bit more. Folks, God doesn't intend for us not to have a picnic, but God does intend for us to worship.
I think God intends for us to worship every day. But we've set aside where we come together on Sundays here to corporately worship together. And folks, so many times in America today, we have got to the point where we put everything else aside. You know, well, we'll go to worship if we don't have something else better to do. I always call it the better option thing. And that's not what God wants. God doesn't want us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God wants us to come and celebrate together. God wants us to come together to worship Him and to encourage one another. And that's important. And so just, I want to challenge you today. I'm not being legalistic with it. And there's times when things come up and you have family things that you need to go to. When you're on vacation, how many like to go on vacation? I'm raising my hand because I do. Now, I usually go to church when I'm on vacation, but not necessarily right here or where I'm pastoring at. It's not a vacation from God, but I encourage you to go on vacation. I encourage you to hang out with your family. All the open houses and stuff are going on right now. By all means. By all means. I don't want to be legalistic, but also I do want to challenge you, though. I want to challenge you to take time to worship Him. Put Him as number one priority in your life. Don't opt for something else. Put Him as number one priority in your life. And Him's worship. And by the way, when He is number one, everything else will kind of fall into place. And when He's not number one, you better watch out. Because your life will probably be pretty miserable. Well, we find that we should glorify Christ on the Sabbath. That's one of the things. We should glorify Him on the Sabbath day. However, wherever, whenever. The Sabbath is given to man to know God and to exercise mercy and love. The Sabbath is given to man to know God. This is our time to slow down. We wanted to show you a clip right now, and we couldn't find the Andy Griffith clip. How many of you ever watched Andy Griffith? How many of you remember the time when they had the guest preacher come in and said, "Well, you just need to slow down and take a time to rest and get together and have a band concert in the afternoon." But we really wanted to show that clip right now. That where it would have been if we could have had the clip, but we didn't find it. But it is, folks, it's a time to slow down to know. I don't know about you, but my life gets busy. And I know I'm a pastor, and my life deals with God all the time. But I want to challenge you to take that time to rest and to know Him. Take that time to rest and to know Him. We also, when we observe the Sabbath, it restores us physically, spiritually, and emotionally. When we take time to slow down, I'm not saying being lazy, because I was brought up that if you take a little bit of time off, that you're just lazy. You've got to be working all the time or you're just lazy. No, that's wrong. That's one of the few things that I could say that I was taught wrong growing up. You don't have to be working 24/7. If you take some time off to enjoy yourself, it's not wrong. If you take time off to rest, it's not wrong. And by the way, when I'm saying that, I've got 3 fingers pointing back at me. Because I'm as guilty of that today as I ever have been. Of having to say, I can't keep on going. I've got to rest. I've got to slow down. And so, just a little confession is good for the soul. Slow down. Rest. Because it'll refresh me physically. It'll refresh me spiritually. And it'll refresh me emotionally. Last Friday, I wanted to drive from Illinois to Michigan. But we had been using the chainsaws, and I'd been using the pole saw, which I think could reach to those lights about there pretty close. Now, not quite. It was 15-foot extension onto the chainsaw. And I'd been using that a lot that week. My arms felt like they were about to fall off. And I got ready to leave, and I had everything ready to go. And my body said, stop. And I want you to know that I physically could have probably drove here that day, but it wouldn't have been a fun ride for me, and it wouldn't have been a fun ride for my family. I was physically exhausted. And I needed that day of sitting in my chair, of sitting there resting, to
to refresh me to be able to come and be ready to be here on Sunday. So we drove on Saturday rather than Sunday last week. Just physically, I had to stop. But folks, we need that day of rest. You need that day of rest. You don't need to be wired to go all the time. The hungry are to be fed, and the sinful reclaimed, and the sick cared for on the Sabbath. Let's talk just a moment here how Jesus said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath still is on Saturday, by the way. But I choose to come and worship on Sunday. I worship on Sunday, and yeah, I can worship on Saturday. I can worship on Friday. I can worship on Thursday. But we worship on Sunday because we're coming to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reason why, and he said, I am Lord, he said, of the Sabbath. I am Lord of the Lord's Day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Sunday is the day that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Sunday is the day that we find the disciples meeting. And they met every day, by the way. But they met in large groups on Sunday, the first day of the week. That's why we worship on Sunday. And here's my last statement today. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Now I want to ask you in your life, is Jesus Lord of all of you? Is he Lord of all? Because if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not Lord of all, if he is Lord of all, he's Lord. Just want you to think about that for a second. In your Sabbath, his deity, he said, I am Lord. I am the boss. I supersede all the other Jewish laws, and I fulfill my law. And Jesus said, we'll worship in spirit and in truth. And I want to ask you right now, I want to ask you, are you submitting to his lordship today? If you're not, you need to make a fresh commitment right now to do so. Lord Jesus,